If you would this morning, open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Like I said, this morning we're going to be in Psalm 119. So we're going to take a slight break from Acts for the day. But if you were here Wednesday, I told you the Lord had been really just laying a sermon on my heart. And it's kind of worked out where Luke can't be here this morning. He can't be here till tomorrow night. I think the Lord has Psalm 119 for us to prepare us for revival. If you came this past Wednesday night, a lot of the conversation revolved around, why isn't revival coming? Where does it start? And where it starts, it's not you showing up tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. No, I want you to show up, but that's not where it starts. Where it starts is you taking a reflection and look on what's going on right here. Looking at what's going on in your life. And really with us rediscovering a love for the Word. Because how many of us can truly say we love the Word? How many of us can truly say we are in the Word? I love Psalm 119. You read it, it's 173 verses, pretty much celebrating the goodness of the Word and the benefits of being in the words. And some of you just got nervous out here in 173 verses. I encourage you to read it all this week. We're not going to preach on all 173 verses. We would never get out of here. But I encourage you this week as revival is going on, divide that by four. And read a little bit of it every day, starting today. But when the Lord started really laying Psalm 119 on my heart, this thought crossed my mind. I'm going to read what I wrote earlier this week. Devotion time, a quiet time, in the morning, trains our hearts to make God the priority of our day. Not someone we try to fit in where it's convenient. Our quiet time, our devotion time is in the morning. Our devotion time in the morning trains our hearts to make God the priority of our day, not someone we try to fit in where it's convenient. I think it's very vital that the first thing we do is we open the Word in the morning. And God's been really, I guess you could say, taking me to the woodshed over that this week. Because I've gotten to where I've made a habit to have my quiet time sometimes in the evening rather than the morning. It's like, I already got to get up early enough. But the Lord's really been beating me up over that. Because I haven't been as steady about it as I should. And so I'm confessing that to you right here. This week I've been working hard on it to get back in the habit of doing it first thing, not when I get home from work and then doing it. Doing it before I even leave for my day. And though my day starts early, it's vital I get in the Word. And the difference in my attitude at work on the days I get in the morning makes all the difference. And I know that, but sometimes we get hard-headed and we stop making it a habit, don't we? Because it's easy to, you can ask Lindsay, I'm bad about hitting a snooze. Sometimes she probably wishes I would just get on up and stop hitting snooze instead of hearing my alarm time after time again. But our early morning habits make all the difference. And that's just not coming from Austin. That comes from Scripture. Three Scriptures, briefly. Psalm 5:3. O Lord, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, who is Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Scripture makes it obvious. When did the Lord pray? When did the Lord have his time alone? In the morning. And even one of the times where we see he has his time in the morning is after the busiest day we have recorded of him in ministry. And he still gets up early the next day. But the Psalms make it clear that we need to order our steps around the Word and let it be the first thing we do. I mean, you can look at various, there's been various studies that show that what we do in the first 10 minutes of our day have a huge impact on the way we perceive the rest of the day. Secular studies that have nothing to do with Christians have done studies, what we do in the first 10 minutes of our day when we wake up impact a lot of how we view the rest of the day. It's vital what you do when you first get up. If you want to be more Christ-like, you want to be more aware of what God is doing, you want to walk more holy as He is holy, let the first thing you do in the morning be get in the Word. Don't let it be the second, third, fourth. Don't let it be 30, 40 hour after you get up. Let it be what you prioritize. Even that means setting your alarm clock 15, 20 minutes earlier. Because how much different would our days look if we prioritized the Word? So we're going to look at roughly 20 verses this morning in Psalm 119. Because Psalm 119 teaches us that a revived people are not marked by better programs, but by a deeper love for God's Word. Because the Word shapes our mornings, our battles, our purpose, our anger, our wisdom, and our worship, among many other things. If we truly want to see revival in us, in this church, we must start in the Word by getting back to a love for the Word, not just hearing the Word on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights, not just coming Monday and Tuesday of this week expecting two extra nights of church are going to get you back where you need to be. It's going to be a daily fight, a daily walk. That's the thing about the three we talked about this morning on the prayer list, that it's hurting them that they can't be here for worship. I guarantee one thing that Miss Lou, Brother Gary, and Ashley have in common is they get in the Word. And they realize the value of church family. The reason Miss Marcus is to be here this morning to play piano, as we just obviously saw, is because she's in the Word. How many of us could have quoted a scripture on the spot like that? In the middle of grieving, she was able to say the words of God that were written on her heart. How often when things are not going on in our lives can we just quote the words of God? But what a testimony it is to write the words of God on our heart. How they help us through the trials of life. If you have lost your love for the Word, I pray you rediscover it this morning. And I know we're going to I could go around this room this morning and I'd say, yeah, I love the Word. If your Bible had screen time like an iPhone does, how many minutes would it say you've opened the Word, that you've read the Word? Would you be ashamed? Or would you be like, yeah, that's a lot, but it's still not enough? Because let's be honest, the more you get in the Word, the more you realize that's not enough time in the day to get in the Word. But we're going to start off this morning by looking at the first two verses. Psalm 119, starting in verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in Your house, Lord. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that You have given us, Lord. And Lord, forgive us for losing our love for Your word. Forgive us, Lord, for not prioritizing Your word. Lord, forgive me for the mornings I don't start my day off with You, that I push You to a little bit later in the day when it's more convenient for me, Lord. Lord, forgive me for treating You like a mere convenience. Yeah. Lord, let me be better at treating You as number one priority. Let You be the first thing on our minds in the morning when we rise. Let You be the last thing on our minds at night when we lay our heads down to rest. Lord, let You be the first thing that comes to our mind, the first person that comes to our mind when we wake up in the middle of the night restless, not being able to sleep. Let the goodness of Your word carry us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You bless the preaching and the teaching of Your word here this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that Your word pierces the heart. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for the power that is in Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at really five ways the scripture benefits us. First and foremost is to be blessed. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Where do we find the law and the testimonies of the Lord? Right here. What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed is to be shown God's divine favor and to be in good standing with God. How do you do that? Right here. The only way you are blessed and in good favor with the Lord is through the blood of his Son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't get blessed by anything of your own merit. The only way you can be favored in the sight of the Lord is being covered in his blood. And then when we get to that place where we are standing in his blood, we are standing in the power of Christ, the way we live in a way that pleases him, is we open the word and see what he tells us to do and how he tells us to live. We don't follow the commands of this book. We follow the instructions of Paul in his many letters in a way to gain the favor of the Lord, to be blessed. But as a way to say, Lord, I appreciate what you have done for me. I appreciate how you have transformed my life. I appreciate how you have died for me, for my sins. I realize, Lord, the ways that you lay out in this book are so that I may live a good life to your glory, to your honor. What is best for me lies in this word and this word alone. Even at times it doesn't make sense to me, I trust your infinite wisdom. I trust your infinite vision. Even when I don't understand, I know I can stand on your word. And the only reason I can stand on, the only reason I can understand it, the only reason I can comprehend it is through your Holy Spirit that indwells in me, that gives me the ability to comprehend it. Because many of us make me reflect on a time in our life where we've read the scriptures before we were saved. It's like, this does not make any sense. And you read through it, and you read through it, and it's like, I don't see what those Christians are talking about. And then the Lord gets a hold of you. Yeah. You get saved. And then the Holy Spirit teaches what the Word says. And you read back through and go, how did I miss that? Your sin blinds you in many ways, and more ways than you ever know. There's so much depth to Scripture. Sure, I've met many atheists that can quote Scripture better than most Christians. But they miss every bit of the depth of it. Yeah. I've talked to many that would say Scripture after Scripture to me. And each time, you can tell they miss everything about it. You make them recite Scripture, but if it's not written in your spirit, written on your heart, it's just mere head knowledge. You have to let the Lord transform you. And the beauty of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You want to know how to live a blessed life, a life that honors God? Open the Word. It is the breath of God. He wants to breathe life, meaning, and purpose into your life. So open that leather book and let it breathe into you. Because the Lord's given us over, if you count every single word in Scripture, it's over 700,000 words in this Bible. God's given us a lot. He hasn't stayed hidden. He has revealed himself to us. And you can't tell me you can, in your whole life, can comprehend all 700,000 plus words. You got a lifetime to do it, and a lifetime ain't enough. But praise the Lord, we'll have eternity with him to continue to learn, to grow in him. We grow in his favor through his blood. We learn to love God deeper. We learn how to love people deeper the more we get in the word. Let us strive to be holy as the Lord is holy. Psalm 119, verse 23. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. And then Psalm 119, verse 42. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Let's go back to verse 41. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Another benefit to being in Scripture, another way the Lord uses Scripture in our life is to prepare us for persecution. Because the psalmist writes, says, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. And then verse 42 said, I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I got news for you. The devil don't get no late starts in the day. Again, that is so, go back to why it's so vital. The first thing we do in the morning is get in the word. Because the devil ain't waiting for you to get woke up good. He loves it when he can grab a hold to you first thing and get your vision off for the rest of the day. He can make you make small little habits in the morning that set off the rest of your day, and you really ain't got to commit any great big sins for him to ruin your testimony, to ruin your walk with the Lord. He can sneak them in right there in the first of your day, in the way that you start your day. In ways that we won't even realize, it's the devil getting us off track. Because how many times do we turn the news on in the morning before we even open the word? And when we do that, when the news is the first thing we turn on instead of opening the word, how quick are you given to despair? Because there ain't nothing encouraging about the news. If that's the first thing shaping the way you view the day, you're going to look at the world with despair and hopelessness. But if you don't look at the day with hope and with purpose and how God redeems the pain, get in the word first thing. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with watching the news, but first get in the word and let the word shape how you view the news, not the news shape how you view the scriptures. Don't let the opinions of man shape the way you view scripture, but let the word of God shape the way you view his word. If social media is the first thing you open in the morning, how quick are we given to covet? Let's be honest, social media makes us covet after things. Whether it's comparing ourselves to other people, or whether it's how social media targets us with advertisement after advertisement, thinking we need thing after thing. If social media is the first way you start your day, how often do you find yourself throughout the day comparing yourself to everybody else, wishing you had this, wishing you had that, and not being enough? If you don't want to spend your day comparing yourself to everybody else, not feeling like you don't never have enough, instead of social media being the first thing you open in the morning, I've been guilty of it. Let it be the word. Let it be the scriptures. Let it be the breath of God breathing into you. What you do first in the day matters. Evaluate the way your life goes, how your week's been, and look how you start each and every single day. If it's games in the morning, whether it's a video game, a game on your phone, or the first thing, how quick are you given to view your day and what pleasures you? How quick are you to view your day as what entertains you? If the first thing you do is going to turn on the Xbox, the PlayStation, the Wii, whatever other game systems there are, how quick are you to view the day as purely at what makes you feel good, what entertains you? Not wrong to have entertainment in your life, but it shouldn't be priority. The Word of God should be priority. Because I can tell you from times playing the Xbox, time would get away from you. You say you're going to sit down for 30 minutes, and next thing I know, sit down at 8 o'clock and it's midnight. And it's like, geez, I didn't realize I was playing that long. But it'll get away from you. And the other things I was planning on doing after I got done playing, it's like, it's bedtime. Yeah. How quick would, or maybe we didn't do our quiet time in the morning. It's like, oh, I got the show I want to watch this evening. I'm going to go catch up. And then instead of watching one episode, you watch another series, and then another series. Yeah. And you said you was going to get in the Word that night. Next thing you know, it's midnight, and it's like, I ain't gonna bet you read, and you go to bed. If sleeping, here's one I'm bad about, another one. If sleeping to the last minute before leaving, how quick are you to rush through the rest of your day? It's tempting to sleep to the very last minute in the morning to get every single second of sleep you can get before the workday starts. Like I just said, you can ask Lindsay, how many in the morning? If you didn't hear it, she said too many. That's what I'm tempted to do, is to keep hitting that snooze. And that's been the reason my quiet times got moved to the evening, is because I waited to the last minute to get up while I was barely getting out the door on time, and then usually forgetting my lunch. But when we sleep, which is a good thing, but when we abuse it, how quick does it make us rush through the rest of our day? And when you rush, you miss how the hand of God's moving. If working out is the first thing you do before getting in the Word, how quick are you giving to vanity? You know, sometimes we go to a place where the first thing we do when we get up is like, I'm going to go work out. Instead of getting in the Word first. I mean, hey, working out in the morning is a good routine. Like Ms. Kara said, I ain't going to have that problem. But how quick are we giving to vanity? Worrying more about our physical appearance than our spiritual appearance. Let your spiritual appearance first take priority. And then go lift weights or run, walk, whatever you do. Because we all know life gets busy. And how quick, say you can go work out for an hour, then sit down and study. And within the hour, how many things can go wrong? How many things can change? It matters how we structure our day. And all these things we just talk about, none of them are necessarily bad things, are they? But if they're put in the wrong order, if they're prioritized wrong, they can have devastating consequences, devastating effects, without us even realizing no really big sin, so to say, in our lives. Ways the devil can creep in and have his way with us. The devil is constantly wanting you to stumble. Set your vision on the Lord first thing, so he don't get that chance. And when you are persecuted, when the devil comes against you, when people come against you, when friends, when family comes against you, when the world comes against you, you'll be armed with the words of God to respond. I was listening to a podcast this week on Jude 9, on the book of Jude. Very short book. But Jude 9, I was reminded of this verse. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Michael didn't have to give any lofty arguments. He says, "The Lord rebuke you." Yeah. Let the Lord do the convicting. Let the Lord do the rebuking. You speak the words of God. And let the words of God have their way with the people. Confidence in the Word does not make us louder. It makes us steadier. So I think sometimes we do think, sometimes winning an argument means being louder. You just look in our culture, you look in society, how do you win arguments? You get louder than the other person. You don't give people the chance to say something, you just keep getting louder to drown one another out. We don't get nowhere doing that, do we? We stand in the Word. Confidence in the Word does not make us louder, it makes us steadier. And when facing persecution, when facing enemies, that is vital. If you want to face the temptations, the struggles of the day, start your day in the Word. And let the Word fight your battles. Amen. Stand on the Word, whether it is persecution, whether it's valleys. Again, going back to Ms. Marcus, quoting scripture right here. She is letting the words of God guide her, not man's opinion. That's many things we could tell her right now. But what's going to be the most to you? Those words you just quoted from up here. Now, she's going to appreciate our loving thoughts, but what's going to carry her through the dark nights? It's those words of the psalmist. What has carried many of us through the many dark nights has been the words of God. Psalm 119, verses 35 through 37. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Scripture gives our day purpose. How often do we get caught up in the race of life and go, what is my purpose? Rather, it's going to work every day. Or rather, it's raising kids, raising grandkids, whatever it may be. Sometimes we get caught up in the monotony of life. It's like, what is the purpose? What good am I serving? How am I doing anything that's of eternal difference? The word gives our day purpose. The word makes us realize the Lord moves even in the most monotonous of circumstances. That he's moving every day. He is talking to us every day. As you think about scripture, examples of people being called out of the day to day. What was Joseph sitting at before he became who he was in Egypt? Was he sitting in a church service? He was sitting in a jail cell, sitting in prison, but was still focused on God. And when he had a chance to interpret the dreams, he did. And then he goes on from there to interpret Pharaoh's. And God went on to use Joseph in mighty ways. But before Joseph was in that position, he was sitting in a jail cell. And feel like your life ain't got no purpose. You sit in a jail cell, it's like, yep, this is it. God ain't going to use me for nothing right here. But he used Joseph. I think about Moses, who was chinning the sheep before the burning bush. Moses was being a shepherd and then encountered the burning bush. David, tending sheep again. And then was ordained king of Israel. Or his one probably we could relate more to, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. What were they doing when they got called to be disciples? Fishing. That's one we probably could relate to. Because I know probably many of us like to fish, hunt. Some of the disciples were fishing when the Lord called them to do great things. I mean, we're getting near the end of deer season. I know probably many of you have probably spent many hours over the last couple of months hunting. A good thing. But how many of those hours when you sit there do you reflect on the goodness of God? Because what a prime time to reflect on the goodness of God. You're out there with no distractions. You're not far enough back in the woods, you ain't got a cell phone to distract you. You ain't got people to distract you. You ain't got the noises of life to distract you. It's just you, the sound of the wind, squirrels, rabbits, hopefully a big buck. Maybe occasional coyote. But what a time to talk to God and just listen and just to be still. While doing something you enjoy. When you're at home, how are you reflecting on the words of God? How do you order and structure your day around the words of God? I'm going to tell you a great app I've found that I like. I'm usually not big into audio Bibles. Just usually lose my focus. But I'm going to tell you a great one is Dwell. You got to subscribe to it. It's like $10 a month. But this one I love having playing in the background. I have my quiet time in the morning, but I've got to where this one, I'll put my AirPods in, go to Dwell and put it on. You're sitting there throughout the day, have it playing in the background. It may be low, and you may be surprised at what you pick up on just because you're filling your thoughts with righteousness and with the goodness of God. But what are you missing out on because you have failed to fine-tune your vision? What idols stand in the way that need to be torn down? You want to see purpose in your day? Start your day off in the Word. And I promise if you haven't been starting off in the Word, when you start starting off in the Word, you're going to realize there's idols in your life. Like for me, that idol's been the snooze button. that I ought to spend a little bit extra sleep. You're going to find those little idols that are wreaking havoc. What you going to do to change it? I want to give Lindsay a cataprong and say, here, buzz me with it, make me get out of the bed. But I may regret that after one morning. So all y'all who have cows, don't give her one. Then Psalm 119, verse 53. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. And then 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. A love of the scripture, a love of the word, gives you righteous anger. Yeah. Anger is not a bad thing. Emotions are not a bad thing. But how are they fine-tuned to the glory of God? Because when things upset us, make us angry, is it because they have offended a holy God? Because people are living contrary to the word of God? The only reason you're going to get a hot indignation for wrongdoing is by being in the word of God. And what do we do when those emotions are stirred? The way I look at anger, it's kind of like that warning light in our car. When it goes off, it's showing, hey, that's something wrong that needs to be fixed soon, or bigger issues are going to happen. When that anger starts to come up in us because we see sin, it is a warning light, not to be ignored. Don't leave the anger unchecked. Go, why is this offending me? Why is this making me angry? Why is this making me upset? Why is this upsetting me? And if you're starting your day off in the Word, you'll realize it's because they are offending a holy God, and it breaks your heart to see people living and rebelling against a holy God. And what are you going to do to share the Word? To redeem your emotions? What are you going to do to speak life? How are you going to address that anger that has arisen in you? I think of 2 Kings chapter 22. In verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They have lost the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And then when they rediscovered it, you see great things start to happen. You see reforms start to happen. You skip on down. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest of Akim, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. They were moved by the word, and reforms happened in the land of Israel because they rediscovered the word. Is that the testimony of us? If we as a church lost a love for the word, have we lost it even though we are in church on a regular basis? Are our Bibles sitting at home lost under all the dust? Are our Bibles lost in the many books, stacks of books on our bookshelf? Have we failed to open and see the reforms that need to happen in our lives, the changes that need to happen in our hearts? What hobbies, habits, traditions have we buried the word behind? What do we need to prioritize to get back to where we need to be? And lastly, Psalm 119, verse 164. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. True worship is driven by the word. If you want your day-to-day life to be a pleasing aroma to God, if you want to worship God in your day, today is driven by the word, not good intentions. We can have all the good intentions here this morning that we want to have, but those good intentions will not carry you through the week. Those good intentions will not have you worship Monday through Saturday. What will drive you to worship, what will carry you through, is the words of God. People, open your word. Open the word of God. I am able to worship because the word shows me I am blessed. That I have favor because of who God is and the work God has done. Not nothing of my own accord, but all by his power and glory. I'm able to worship Because I know how to face persecution. I know how to respond in a holy way when the world comes against me, when the devil comes against me, when my own flesh comes against me. I know how to respond because of the word of God. And that allows me to stand here this morning and worship God and to preach his word with authority because of the wisdom I have gained in his word. I'm able to worship because the word shows me every day has eternal purpose, whether in big or small ways. I'm able to worship because the word shows me anger can be righteous and not blinding. I'm able to worship because the word shows me divine wisdom. We are here worshiping today because we heard the word and were saved and had our lives transformed. The scripture says we are to be saved by hearing. We hear the word of God. If you have been saved, you have been transformed by God. It's because you heard the word. Your walk with God started with the word. It started. It didn't start and end there. That was just the beginning of your love affair with the love of God. That was just the start of it all. But how often do we get saved? And we start off with a fire. And we get in it for that first little bit. But then as the months go on, the years go on, we get comfortable. And we stop opening it as much as we should. Got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional to open it day by day. I pray Psalm 119 has convicted you as much as it has me this week. Hope it has shown you the idols that we have in our lives that we don't even realize are there sometimes. It's shown me some of mine as I've confessed this morning. Now, I couldn't stand here and preach that to you if I didn't confess it. Because first of the summer, don't preach to me, convict me. I ain't got no business being up there preaching. The word of God convicts. Yes, it does. And don't let that be an excuse not to get in it every day. So yes, while it does convict, it transforms. And you live a life more pleasing to the Lord. Stop getting yourself in messes because you're ignoring the Lord. Let today be the day you rediscover that love for the word. Go home today and start reading Psalm 119. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, I pray that as you have shown me this week how I have lacked and how I get in your word on a daily basis, Lord, that you have revealed that to all of us this morning, Lord. Lord, forgive me for where I have failed. Forgive us for where we have failed. Lord, help us strive to do better day in and day out. Let us not never, ever settle with just being good enough. Let us not grow complacent, but let us grow more hungry day by day as we continue to get more and more of a taste for your word, Lord, that our taste for it just grows and grows. Let us spend our lives soaking in every bit of your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for us that have been redeemed, that we will have all eternity to continue to grasp the meaning of every word in your holy book. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you move in a mighty way during this time of invitation, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you continue to move beyond these few minutes of invitation, Lord, that you move throughout the evening, you move throughout the week. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.